Test will take about 2 hours. Not quite. Take probably about 30, 35 minutes. 40, 45. About 35. And we'll correct it in class.
told you not yet done. Two more words.
Are we all done? Okay, let's exchange papers. Going to put your name as corrector on there. Question number one, why are these epistles called the general epistles? It's letter B, because they're addressed to all believers in general rather than to any specific church or individuals. Number two, in addition to the term general, what other term is often used? Letter C, the Catholic epistles. The word Catholic means universal. You just don't blame me. Number six. Now I'm under pressure now. I'm not responding well to the pressure. Number three. To whom did James write his epistle? Letter E. The Israelites dispersed among the Gentiles. Number four. What important position did James hold in the early church? Letter A. Leader of the church at Jerusalem. See how much you learn when you take these tests? You sometimes wonder where you were when the class is going on. It's all on a curve, so maybe that'll provide some comfort. Number five, what is the theme of the book of James? Letter D, the proofs of faith. Number six, here's number six. When was the Epistle of James most probably written? Letter B, 45 A.D. Number seven, what point is James making when he contrasts the brother of low degree with the rich? Letter C, both the rich and the poor must see who they are in God, endure trials, and rejoice in the Lord. Number eight, what has God promised to those who love Him and who have endured temptation? Letter E, a crown of life. All the others are good. Just doesn't happen to be what chapter 1, verse 12 says. Number 9, what is the underlying purpose of trials according to James 1? Letter A, to mature and perfect us. Number 10, according to James 1:13, God does not tempt any man. Yet Scripture shows He tried Abraham, David, and others. Therefore, what is this verse really saying? Letter D, God allows trials, but will not Himself entice us to do evil. Number 11, according to James 1:14 and 15, what sequence does temptation to sin follow? Letter A, drawn away by our own lust and enticed. Lust is conceived, brings forth death. Number 12, according to James, what kind of faith is faith without works? Letter B, dead faith. Number 13, James 3:1 reads, my brethren, be not many masters. And the question is, what are the masters spoken of here, according to the Greek? Letter C, teachers. Teachers. Number 14, James 3:2 reads, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is the perfect man. What experience in God opens us up in the most significant way to the power that is necessary to control the tongue? Letter C, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I did say that in class. And we did talk about it. I do remember that. I may not have said any of these other things, but I remember I said this. Number 15. What terms are specifically used by James to characterize the wisdom of this world? Letter D. Earthly, sensual, devilish. Number 16. What is sown in peace of them that make peace? Letter D. The fruit of righteousness. Number 17. What does James pinpoint as the source of wars and fightings? Letter B. Lust in your members. We'll be repeating this class next semester. And if you can fit it into your schedule, you'd probably really be blessed by it. So. Because right now it doesn't sound like there are many people blessed by the general epistles. But we'll go on anyway. Number 18. You thought I was doing a good job till you took this test. My ranking as far as teaching ability has gone down real far today. I'll have to fight the demons that are going to attack me now, but I'll get through. Number 18. What analogy does James use to portray the brevity of human life? Letter A. Life is a vapor. Or such a trial. This is why we studied James chapter 1 and made such emphasis about counting it all joy. Letter A really is the answer. Life is a vapor. Number 19. Spiritually speaking, which crop is the husbandman patiently waiting for that receives the early and latter rain? And it's letter A, the raptured saints. Now, there are a number of people, I don't know how this happens, and I mentioned it in class specifically because of this, but because it's raptured saints, past tense, they think, well, that can't be it. You can say the saints that go on the raptured saints, it all can be said in many different forms like that, and it's all saying the same thing, but there have been people in the past that have missed it because of that. And this is where sometimes you can really outthink yourself in taking a test. And really, 99% of the time, the questions, they're not ever calculated really to be trick questions. They really aren't. It doesn't seem like that. It doesn't feel that way. And having them marked wrong seems to be further proof that they are trick questions. But really, there is a purpose to the questions, getting down to the essence of what was taught. And it is very important, just as one other point of information, it is important to realize that writing tests, number one, is extremely difficult. Number two, taking tests is difficult. And so we've got quite a dilemma. When they're hard to write and then they're hard to take, it's not going to make it a very pleasant experience overall. And it really isn't. I wish there was an entirely different way that we could go about grading these classes. I wish God would just come down and we hand him the grade book and he just puts in the grades. But many people wouldn't accept that. They would not accept that. That's why there's all these things in life that we have to blunder and fail and mess up. And then we'll accept, yes, I have messed up. I have blundered. But if God would just come down and say, now, with this, you don't even need to do it because this is what's going to happen. There'd be many people who would say, I can't believe that. I can't accept that about myself. And so until they jump off the cliff and roll down the rocky hill there or whatever, until all that happens and they find themselves all cut up, bruised, battered by the devil in situations of life, they really have no ears to hear what God is saying. It's too bad that for the most part man is so slow in hearing and responding to God. But nevertheless, that's essentially the way it is. Question number 20, if a member of the body of Christ is sick, what is he supposed to do according to James 5:14? Letter C, call the elders to himself for prayer. Number 21, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. What is the literal rendering of prayed earnestly? Letter B. He prayed prayer. Then check all that apply. Which of the following statements are characteristics of the book of James? Letters A through D are to be checked. And this is what was given in class. And either you remembered what was given or you did quite a bit of guessing. So letters A, B, C, and D are the answers for that. Then question number two. In regard to trials, tests, and temptations, which of the following statements are accurate descriptions? Letter A should be checked. God does not tempt us to do evil. In the majority of instances, Satan and his demonic forces tempt us to do evil. It's not in all instances. It's in the majority. Letter C is checked. Man's own carnal nature produces numerous temptations without any direct assistance of demonic spirits. Now, I don't really think that that as a person is being tempted by their own carnality, that demons leave them entirely alone. I believe demons are going to work with that and add to it. But the point of the statement is, demons aren't necessary for man to be tempted. Some things are just because of man's own appetites. He's formulated certain desires, certain cravings, by falling into all sorts of different sins, and sometimes that's all that is needed for him to be further tempted down the road of life. And the whole point, and this is a vital thing to understand, is that demons are not the ones for us to really blame. We must understand that a lot of these things, it simply is our own fault. Even when they pressure us, it still comes back upon us. That's why it said there in James chapter 1 that it's our own lusts. We're being enticed because we have lusts. We have these cravings. Now, of course, we know that these cravings are also demonic spirits. But it's not that get rid of all the demonic spirits and now we'd have no more cravings. We could have every demonic spirit gone today, just like that. We would still be tempted. Why? We still have carnality. We still have lusts of our own soul, of our own flesh, that have been established by developing certain habits and patterns in life. So just to get rid of all the demons and to have them all put away is not going to take care of all the temptations and all the sins. Because what do we see in the millennium? We see the devil and all the demons bound, and yet there are people that are being judged instantaneously by God because of sin. There are people who won't come up and worship, and they're judged by God. Now what does that tell you? It says that man is really the problem. Man in his state of sin. And if he won't keep opening up to God, he doesn't really need demons to cause him to fall and to stumble and to fail. Now, the demons want to come, of course, and compound it. We can start talking about demons, and then we can put everything in their lap, make them totally responsible. But that's passing the blame in many cases. If we make it, it will be because we opened up to God with God's strength. If we don't make it, we won't be able to say, those demons are at fault. And God says, oh, you're right. Well, come on in and I'll put them in the lake of fire. It won't be that way. That's what the point of this is. Letter E is to be checked. Trials are allowed in order to prove the faith of the saint. Letter F is to be checked. The divers temptations have a good purpose to strengthen Christian character. Letter G, life's trials cause real faith to emerge, and this works to produce an endurance, patience, and perseverance in God. Letter H, man of his own lusts and lack of caution brings many temptations in his own life. His lusts, lack of caution. And then letter J, the trials that God sends and allows, and God does send some trials, and he allows trials, have the aim of strengthening and purifying the saints. Letter B is not true. Satan is responsible for every wicked temptation. No, he's not responsible for every wicked temptation. And that isn't a trick question where I then say it's Satan and demons are responsible. No, it's that man is at times responsible himself for the wicked temptations that come his way, because he has an appetite for that, and he puts himself in that environment, in that situation. Letter D, God allows tests only for the purpose of exposing sin. That's not true. Now, some tests will expose sin. Some tests will expose weakness. Other times, they prove to us that we're stronger in God than what we thought. The tests have much more of a purpose than just to expose sin. And letter I, God is the absolute author of every trial man faces in life. No, he's not. The absolute author means that he would be directly involved in every single thing. So the trials where we're tempted to do evil, then that means he would be the absolute author of that. So therefore, he would now be the tempter of evil in our lives. He is not a tempter enticing us to do evil. So A, C, E, F, G, H, and J. Then number three, James 2:10 reads, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Of the following statements, which ones are proper explanations of this verse? Letter B should be checked. Man cannot try to escape his failure to observe one part of the law by pointing to his observance of the other parts. Now, we went through and explained that when it says he is guilty of all, that means something literally. And that's how we explained the verse. We explained the verse literally. We did not explain the verse figuratively. If we explained the verse figuratively, then letter A would have been checked. Because then we'd have to say, yes, it is a hyperbole. He doesn't really mean that he's guilty of all. But there was a literal sense in which he meant that the person who committed one sin was guilty of all. And we went through that at great lengths, trying to make it as clear as possible. And this is not a figurative statement. Now, I will admit that there is kind of an underlying figurative sense to what he's saying in order to understand what his point really is. But I would never just categorize the verse as a figurative statement, because it's not a figurative statement. It really is a literal statement. He means, you do this, and you're guilty of all. Because what does the one transgression compared to 5,000 transgressions produce? The same consequence: eternal separation from God. So whether one or many, the consequence is the same. The basic consequence is the same. Lake of fire. He's guilty of all. Literally, he's guilty of all, in the sense that what the law demands will be demanded of the person who transgresses one thing, as well as the one who transgresses 10,000 things. The same thing is demanded. The person is placed in the same position of jeopardy, the same position of eternal consequences. So it's a literal statement in that sense. And to say it's a hyperbole, and it exaggerates the seriousness of sin for emphasis, you cannot exaggerate the seriousness of sin. That can't be exaggerated. Well, now, I like to talk about sin today, and I'm going to exaggerate its seriousness. And sin really isn't that big of a thing. And so I'm going to talk about it as though it's this big monster that is out to destroy us, and if you have sin, you're in a lot of trouble. But I don't really mean that, because it's not really that serious. How can you overemphasize or exaggerate the seriousness of sin when that sin separates you from God and you end up in the lake of fire? This is not... here I'm going to give a little training course on, oh, maybe how to do some gymnastics moves, some sort of your maybe a trainee on a job. Now, if you do this wrong, you could get a little sliver in your hand. And so now, as I'm going to talk to you about getting this little sliver, I'm going to talk to you. Now, if you get this sliver, then you could get blood poisoning, and then from the blood poisoning, you could die. We'd have to amputate your hand. And you'd say, aren't you going overboard? It's a sliver. I think I can live with this liver. I think we'll get it out in time to so that I won't lose my life. I don't think my life is really in jeopardy. See, that would be an exaggeration regarding the seriousness of this little sliver. It's not really that serious at all. But we're not talking about sin and slivers in the same category. We're talking about entirely two different things. And this thing is big, and this thing is little. And when you're talking about this, there's no way, really, to exaggerate the seriousness of it. So that statement, even if the verse was a hyperbole, even if the verse was figurative, the second part of the statement is false. So either way. Also, letter C is marked. There is a very real essential unity to the law, and strict obedience in one part does not make up for the violations in another part. Now, these letters B and C, they are so important for us to really understand. We're not in this kind of a game with God that if we do enough things in the positive, that'll in and of itself counterbalance and make this in the negative null and void. It'll somehow erase it. And if we can just concentrate on these five things and do them right, then these over here, it'll just kind of balance it out. It isn't working that way. It isn't set up that way. And there are people who are trapped in that kind of thinking, and it's very subtle. It's an underlying perversion of the truth. Also, letter E. To disobey one command is to resist the authority upon which all the precepts are founded. You have the lawgiver, and he has the authority. He holds a position where he has set up these laws. And if a person resists one point, they're actually resisting the entire authority. They're actually resisting the lawgiver himself. And then also letter G. The whole law condemns the transgressor of any part of it. Yes? Letter D. The contempt shown in violating one point of God's law does not really show a poor attitude of heart toward the Word of God in its entirety. I have to think about it here for a second. Now, the contempt shown in violating one point. Now, if it said it does show a poor attitude of heart toward the Word of God in entirety, then it should be checked. But it says that it does not really show a poor attitude. And the key there is does not, because it would. Now, this isn't something that the average person is aware of. And see, that's, again, it shows that we don't really understand what's going on. If I'm a member of Community Chapel, and Community Chapel has a certain way it does things, and a certain way that it's set up, and but there are some rules. I don't like the way the parking lot is set up. I don't like the stop signs and the arrows, or you got all these yellow the parking areas that are marked with the yellow, and you've got all these reserve signs everywhere, and I don't like that. Now, I like the church, and I love the church. I love the pastor, and I love all the people in the church, but I'm going to come in this back driveway, and I'm going to park at any one of these yellow places I want. Now, really, what does that attitude show toward all of Community Chapel, toward the whole structure of Community Chapel? Now, it may be very subtle, and it might be something that is kind of way down deep and really imperceptible to the average person. But what does that really show? It shows a wrong attitude toward the whole church. It shows a wrong attitude toward all the authority of the church, is what that would show. It really does. And we don't want to view it that way, and we don't really want to accept it that way, because what do? We do the very thing this verse is telling us that we better not do. This is really the truth. It is a hard thing for us to grasp, but we really do. We say, now, I accept these laws, But this one is kind of inconvenient. I don't have a bad attitude toward law, though. It's just that this one I think is unfair. It really shows that as we have this, we actually have an attitude toward all the law that is one of contempt. And it's a very subtle thing. Very, very subtle indeed. So if you violate one part, the person is really showing a poor attitude of heart toward the entire Word of God. They really are. So if it said does, then it should be checked. But since it says does not, it's not to be checked. Okay. Well, they're B, C, E, and G. B, C, E, and G. So if you'll just put the minus number at the top, as well as the number correct. So if it's minus 5, also put a 70 up there, so I can see both the minus as well as the total correct. And then you can pass them on in. Thank you.